You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. We're giving out grades, the bye week grades. Where are the 49ers at here in week six with no game as they await week seven of the schedule and those Indianapolis Colts? The Niners at 2-3 on the season. Which direction is their season going? And looking back, how has it gone? What position groups are doing what? We're going position by position and giving out some grades here for the 2021 49ers. At BD Peacock on Twitter, at Eric underscore Crocker is where you can find Croc and myself and get involved in this show and ask us questions. And you can find the links to this very podcast. But you probably already know how to find the podcast because you're listening to it. And if you are, you should also check out Locked On NFL Draft, which is co-hosted by Crocker, and the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, co-hosted by myself. We're bringing you NFL content every single day. Every show, every team in the league. I don't even know what I'm saying. All right, here we go, Croc. We're doing grades. 2-3 49ers. If you had to give the 49ers just an overall grade, this wasn't supposed to be part of the show, but just real quick, just the 49ers right now, 5 weeks, what do you give them as a team grade?
I'd have to say a D because, one, there's no identity. Two, the thing that's supposed to be the strength is not the strength. And three, there's no legit solution to what the quarterback plan is. Like, we have no idea what it is. Some people this way, some people that way. And yeah, there's just no identity to this team. And obviously you compound that with losing three straight games. I'd say the only reason why it's not an F is because DeMeco Ryans has been so good. So yeah, I give it a D. And also, this is going off of what the expectations were for this team heading into the season.
Super Bowl expectations. The expectation was, at worst, you're like, okay, maybe 3-2 into the bye, right? That was sort of the, okay, we'll lose
then
a couple
I'd say
of games.
C,
yeah,
right?
and that's
two,
sort of,
C.
That would have been par. And right now they're under par. So I think D is fair. And the plan at quarterback is a big one. Kyle Shanahan's got to get this right the rest of the season. This is a huge part of his career as a head coach. It's huge for the careers of Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, respectively. Right now, we've seen four games from Jimmy G. We've seen one and a little bit more than that from Trey Lance. Jimmy G is completing 66% of his passes, 925 yards. His quarterback rating is 96.9. Five touchdowns, two interceptions. Trey Lance got three touchdown passes and an interception. He's only completing 52.1% of his passes, but similar average. And he's got an 88.4 quarterback rating if you're into those old quarterback ratings. And I know I've seen people reference the QBR, which is lower for both quarterbacks. It's lower for every quarterback because it's just a lower number. But also, the QBR dings those West Coast-style quarterbacks. Like, the quarterback rating, I think Bill Walsh was a part of the team that invented the quarterback rating and what the formula was going to be that goes into it. And it really benefits guys who have high completion percentage, completing short passes. But other metrics we're seeing that evaluate quarterbacks now definitely skew things toward bigger plays by their quarterback, and we have not seen big plays in the passing game from these quarterbacks, which is why some of those metrics like QBR and some others are a little bit lower. But how are you feeling about this quarterback group overall? We've got two different quarterbacks that have been a part of this grade so far.
I think, again, it comes back to just no identity. So I think if you just had Garoppolo and we just know what he is, which, I mean, we do in theory know what Garoppolo is, or at least what he's supposed to be, you'd probably be a little bit more confident that they would get it right down the line, even though it started off clunky. 2019, everybody talks about that season like it was just all great. I thought Garoppolo got off to a very slow start, and the passing game in general, it really didn't start heating up until Emmanuel Sanders got there, and really even after that. It wasn't until, like, Halloween, right, the night against the Cardinals. That was when the passing game really started to kind of take off a little bit and Garoppolo got into a rhythm. Well, this year, he hasn't gotten into that rhythm, has started slow as well, but then you bring in the dynamic of Trey Lance, and he was a third overall pick, and you used three first-round picks on him, and all that, I don't know. It just makes it a really strange dynamic in the quarterback room. If they just committed one way or the other, and I guess they technically have committed to Garoppolo, but I just don't think you can commit to him while also saying, well, we did not like you enough to go look at all these different things, whether it was Stafford, Watson, we traded all these picks for these young guys. So I don't know, just very weird space for the quarterback. I don't know what's going on there.
It's so hard. And I hope they know. And I feel like that's part of what's going on with the 49ers right now, is the beat writers kind of don't really know. And usually they have an in and have a good reference of things that are going on with the team. The fans don't know, even the analysts like us and a lot of other really smart people who follow the team and chart everything and are watching everything. We're like, I don't know who should play. What's the plan? What's going on here? Kyle Shanahan has not really given any idea of what the plan will be to come, except for that he's just said Jimmy's one, Trey's two, and that's it, period. And it sounds like he doesn't want to change from whatever that is right now. At some point, Jimmy or Trey has to become the one. What needs to happen to make that happen? I don't know. I feel like that's already happened, but we'll see how that is going forward. But even with Trey Lance, obviously he's not ready. He's not going to get a high grade because there's, you know, obviously a raw element to his game, but that could absolutely improve. And it definitely makes the potential of what the 49ers are higher with Trey Lance in there, even though maybe right now Jimmy Garoppolo would be running things more efficiently, but even that hasn't looked great. I'm actually looking at Jimmy's 2019 stats that you referenced there. So he was 69.1% in 2019. It's the only full season we've seen of Jimmy Garoppolo for 16 games. 27 touchdowns to 3 interceptions. He had just under 4,000 yards, 3,978 yards, and a 102 passer rating. He was 60.8 QBR. So definitely his best statistical season, his best season total. He played all the games. But even this year, the numbers really aren't that far off from where he was in 2019, but it hasn't looked even what I would have expected an efficient Jimmy Garoppolo team and offense to look like. So even there, if that's what you're leaning on is Jimmy Garoppolo efficiency, it hasn't really been that either. And definitely no uptick, as I've been expecting for a couple years now.
I think the biggest difference, if I had to guess, and that's without me being able to look at the numbers right now, but third down efficiency. Right now, so far, again, we've had so many like these weird starts to games and, you know, three and outs, a very slow second half against the Lions. You know, I think all those kind of have one thing in common, and it's the lack of third down efficiency. And I think that's been the biggest thing that has stopped drives and made the offense kind of really clunky throughout the first quarter of the season.
Looking at the Pro Football Focus grades too for the quarterbacks, they're actually very similar. And it's been pointed out before, like what the passing grades have been for these quarterbacks and what the grades have been overall for the season and what Trey's PFF grade was versus what Jimmy's grade has been. And the PFF, those guys, they don't see much of a difference between these two guys as passers. And obviously you get a lot more with Trey Lance, and we should probably consider, and Jimmy's run the ball a little bit as well this season. We should probably consider those things when it comes to these two quarterbacks. Garoppolo does have the one touchdown run. And then, of course, Trey Lance has a touchdown run and has been more involved. He's been their third leading rusher already with 27 carries, only 4 carries behind Trey Sermon, 133 yards, and he's averaging 4.9 yards per carry. So there's that, too, and there's just that little extra element that Trey Lance gives you that we have to consider when we're looking at this and not just the passing grades. But, yeah, I think we've said everything there needs to be said about this. Croc, what is your letter grade for the quarterbacks?
An F.
F?
And I've said it again. I said already there's no identity with the offense. I think it starts at the quarterback position. I'm not giving it an F because I just think that the quarterbacks have played that terribly bad. You know, I just think that there are so many things up in the air. There's no solution to anything or when this thing is going to get fixed. I bet the offensive guys don't know. Shoot, they don't even know how to block for this guy as compared to this guy. And Kyle Shanahan has to call plays for this guy different than he calls plays for this guy. So I think you kind of start to combine everything that's going on with that entire situation at the quarterback position and to not have that thing solidified at this point in the season, I have to give them an F. And maybe that F falls on Kyle Shanahan and not in the sense of play calling, but just with how this whole situation has been handled.
Yeah, and I'm trying to look at this more and take the other elements out of it. So take the offensive line out of it, take the coaching out of it, and just look at how the quarterbacks have performed. I don't think it's been great, and I think it's been lower than expectations so far, but I think I'll give it more like a C minus instead of an F. But I see where you're coming from with this. It has not been good, and it's been lower than expectations for sure. And actually, C minus might even be a little bit on the high side, because if C is right at expectations, or, you know, C, I mean, everything's subjective, and we're kind of just doing our own thing with this and throwing out our own criteria. But I'll go C minus, and I would not fight someone that thinks it's a lot lower than that.
The F is because, not just, I mean, again, and I don't think that the quarterback play has been terrible, but I don't know what the plan is moving forward. Like, that's more the issue for me. Like, it's been really weird in the dynamic of everything. And then, like, how do we improve on this? Like, again, I go back 2019. If you just said we're going to stick with Garoppolo no matter what, then I say, okay, I could see at some point him improve. But I don't even think that's going to be the case. And so that's why I have such a low letter grade for them, because I don't know what's going on here.
Confidence is low. I get what you're saying. Yeah, I feel the same way. My confidence is low with Jimmy Garoppolo coming off the calf injury and playing in week 7. My confidence is low in Trey Lance, you know, being ready and ready to go and being that guy. My confidence is low in Kyle Shanahan's plan for how this is all going to work out. It doesn't look like it's coming together at all at that position for the 49ers. And even if it was like, look, we're going to go through the growing pains and we're going with Trey, period. That's it. I'd be like, okay, there's a path.
I'd give it a higher grade.
Yeah.
If they did that.
Or even
if they just, I mean, and again, it's tough because he said that he's sticking with Garoppolo, but that's not what the feel is, just off. Just the whole vibe around.
What if Kyle Shanahan came out and was just a little bit more clear about it and said, look, Jimmy gives us the best chance to win. The locker room believes in Jimmy Garoppolo. He's a better quarterback right now. When Trey Lance can do ABC, he'll be the guy. And we drafted him to be the guy. But right now, he can't be the guy. He hasn't really said like those types of things and really laid it out clearly. And I hope he has to Trey Lance and to his quarterbacks there. But it's kind of just been like it's been like that with some of the other players we talked about on yesterday's show. And we'll get to the running backs and the wide receivers. And, you know, Sermon and Ayuk, he's just like, oh, something needs to, you know, it's like, well, what is it? What's the score? What's going on right now? You know, tell us what it is. What does Trey Lance need to do better? Is he not reading defenses? Not getting the ball out quick enough? Is he too inaccurate? Does he need to work on his throwing motion? And like, what needs to be done to make him quarterback one? And rather than just being like, Jimmy's the one and Trey's the two. It's like, well, why? Because that's not good enough.
And he can say all that, but all I know is watching that game, 8 out of 10 drives, or maybe there was one drive, every drive was going into Arizona territory. So you could say the mechanics, or he might miss a pass here and there, but it's like this dude moving the ball. And eventually, like, those drives are going to turn into points. And we can't even say that consistently for Jimmy Garoppolo right now. So that's the tough dynamic of it as well. Clear areas where we know Trey Lance needs to improve.
Right. Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Obvious. Yeah. Yeah. Confidence is low. Croc's going to give him an F. I'm going to go C minus on the quarterbacks. We'll see how that looks the rest of the way. But I'm not liking the way things are going there with the quarterbacks. And a lot of times how the quarterback goes is how the rest of the team goes. And that's how it's been 2-3 season so far for the 49ers. Let's talk offensive line, running backs, receivers next. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. You probably learned a little something over the early part of the 2021 NFL season about some teams. Maybe you feel confident that you want to bet on some NFL spreads you see week to week. Over-unders, MVPs, Rookie of the Year. There are a number of different things you can bet on when it comes to the NFL, college football. There are odds, props, contests, an updated site interface, and BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. You can find news at betonline.ag. If you don't want to bet on the NFL, there is basketball, boxing, baseball, Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the amazing offers available this season and use promo code LOCKEDON to get a welcome bonus. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's go O-line. And as the O-line goes, sometimes the running game goes, sometimes the quarterbacks go. So this is a pretty important position for the 49ers. And I feel like overall, the offensive line hasn't played great. Am I off there? Like, Trent Williams has been Trent Williams, but I feel like there's been way too much inconsistency on the offensive line for the resources that have been put there and the players that are there. And the versus expectations, the 49ers have been disappointing this year.
I think it's Alex Mack. I think that's probably the most disappointing part. I think everybody else is kind of performing as you would think, right? Little inconsistent moments from McGlinchey. Trent Williams, for the most part, playing extremely well. Lincoln Tomlinson doing Lincoln Tomlinson things. Brunskill probably getting beat like you would expect, and that's why they drafted Aaron Banks. But Alex Mack, that's the one guy that's been kind of getting bullied a little bit and pushed back, and plays being blown up because of him. And he was supposed to be the one that was supposed to tie all this together and be kind of the anchor at that spot. So I think that's probably the more disappointing aspect of this first quarter of the season when it comes to the offensive line.
I was really hoping for a Mike McGlinchey resurgence. And I feel like he hasn't even been that good running, like as a run blocker. And that was his thing. He's kind of not great as a pass blocker. He was too thin last year. He bulked back up. His mind's right. He's an awesome run blocker, and he's going to be better as a pass blocker. And I haven't seen that. It looked okay early in the season. I think he's kind of regressing there now too. So I'm not feeling good about the right side. Brunskill, I don't think, should be a starting guard anyway. I don't think that's his best skill set. I think he's someone who should be a swing tackle. And by the way, I don't like the 49ers situation when Trent Williams does go down, what they have at tackle, because he's really been anchoring this offensive line. Lincoln Tomlinson, it's just been solid. He's been himself. So I've liked that. So the left side's fine. Alex Mack, I thought he was going to be a lot better. Obviously, he's advanced in his age right now. Looking at the PFF grades right now, the only offensive linemen that grade above average are Lakin Tomlinson and Trent Williams. And that pretty much matches exactly with what I've seen. Alex Mack is next. Mike McGlinchey has not graded out very well, but he's been okay and acceptable. And Daniel Brunskill is down the list a little ways and really had a tough time with J.J. Watt, as some people do. So, look, you have tough time against good players, but overall, not enough consistency there. I think it's affecting both the quarterbacks and the run game. So, I got to go. I mean, it's so hard because Trent Williams is so good, so he raises the level, you know. But to me, give me five solid offensive linemen rather than a disaster on one side and a superstar on the other side, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Trent Williams would just tell those guys, dude, raise your game up, man. Like, don't make me the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
Because they're not as good as we need them to be.
I mean, if it was five Trent Williams, it'd be an easy A, right? Yeah. But it's not. So I got to give them, honestly, I'm going to give them a D+ on the offensive line, because they just well below expectations for me. And if the offensive line's not playing well, it makes everything difficult. And you got a pass block for Jimmy G for sure, and you got a pass block for your young potential developing superstar quarterback. It's hard enough to be quarterback in the NFL without dudes in your face all the time, and you got to figure out how, and that's, it's tough, but you got to learn how to block for the athletic style of quarterback too. And he did. Look, Trey Lance ran into one of those sacks. Did not need to happen. Like, straight made a sack happen that didn't need to. So that one's on him. But otherwise, I want to see more from the 49ers offensive line, especially in the run game. You're supposed to be dominant in the run game, and they haven't been that either.
Yeah. When I look at this offensive line, and, you know, you talked about, you know, the expectations and them playing below that, I'm actually going to give them a C, just a flat C, not a C+, not a C-. I think my expectations for the offensive line was closer to a B, like a regular B, and I was like, you know what, a B with, I think, okay, we got something here. It's going to be good. Maybe even B+. Maybe I thought they were even going to be a B+. But they're definitely below those standards. I'm going to have them right out of C, because watching them, the inconsistency is probably the bigger part, but I don't look at most of a game and just say they just can't block, right? Because we've seen those type of offensive lines where it's just like, you're just terrible here, you're terrible there. Brunskill, you know, he's probably been the biggest weak link, but overall, I think they're just very average. But I think the expectations were for them to be much better than just very average. So I'm going to have them right there as a C, and that's as average as it gets.
All right, D plus for me, C from Kroc for the 49ers offensive line. How about running backs? Obviously, Raheem Mostert was supposed to be the guy, or at least mostly the guy. It's funny because preseason it was like, oh, people were drafting, not that long ago, people were drafting in their fantasy leagues Trey Sermon over Raheem Mostert. And we advised them not to do that, but Raheem Mostert only lasts two carries. So I guess that wasn't terrible because Trey Sermon's had 31 carries. But it turned out to be Elijah Mitchell's going to be the guy that leads this backfield. And as long as he can stay healthy, and maybe he was limited with his shoulder injury a little bit last week still, maybe that's why we only saw those nine carries. But Kyle Shanahan clearly doesn't trust Trey Sermon. And Jermichael Hasty's been hurt. He's played two games. The two carries from Raheem Mostert, which were fantastic, you know, 9 yards and 11 yards on those two carries. I think that offense would have been fun. But it's not worked out according to plan. I've liked what I've seen from Elijah Mitchell, though, and I don't think the actual running backs, I've talked about it a lot on all of my shows and anytime on Twitter, anytime someone listened to me, running backs don't matter that much. I don't think the running backs for the 49ers have had a huge impact, even though it's gone about as bad as possible as far as personnel, especially since Trey Sermon's not playing like the third rounder that they traded up to get. But I like Elijah Mitchell. I think he's fine. I think he's a starting running back. I don't think the running backs are a problem. I think they're just whatever, and I'll just give him a C.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to go a little bit higher than that. I'm going to give him a B. All right, this is one of my first better grades. And because I have said running back is supposed to be a position where it's plug and play, I think losing Raheem Mostert is like, dang, okay, well, what do we do now? Then it's like, well, you lose Hasty, and okay, what's going on with Sermon? He wasn't even active. So I think it was starting off looking like a disaster. And then, you know, obviously Elijah Mitchell has some big plays, you know, continue it going. He got hurt, came in. Sermon had to take the workload against the Seahawks, ran for almost 100 yards. I'm like, okay, there's not a big drop off in the sense of like the production at the position. And then you watch them against Arizona, and Mitchell's back, and it's like, wow, he looks good. I like the way he's running. I like the way he's moving. And, you know, Trey Sermon only had one carry that game, but it was one carry for 7 yards. All right, so 7 yard average. And I think when you kind of combine the two games of what we saw from Sermon against the Seahawks and Mitchell against the Cardinals, you put that together and it's like, you know what? That could possibly be a pretty good tandem. And I think we could be doing a lot worse at the position. So I like how they're progressing. I'll be curious to see if one guy takes the lead. It looks like it's Elijah Mitchell. If that's the case, I'm fine with having those guys as a 1-2 punch, really comfortable with that. And I think just how it's kind of progressed and, again, kind of predicting how it'll be for the next quarter of the season, I'm going to go ahead and give them a B.
I'm actually excited to see Hasty back because I like the juice he brings to the backfield, the quickness. You know, he's averaging 6.8 yards per carry for the 49ers. He's only carried the ball six times in those two games. He's been involved in the passing game as well early and had five catches in those couple of games. So I like the element he's going to bring, and I have a feeling Trey Sermon's going to get zero touches in week seven if Jermichael Hasty is going to be back, and it's going to be Elijah Mitchell with Hasty being the change of pace guy. And I think that'll be okay for the 49ers. But I get what you're saying, like what they've been able to do with how they've been hit with injuries has actually been pretty good, even though I think most people would be disappointed in the run game.
And like you said, I mean, you talked about the run blocking as well. That has been, you know, a little bit below average from what we expected, especially one side of the offensive line being worse. But I have a question. Why does Kyle Shanahan hate Trey Sermon?
I have no idea. I wish I knew. I wish I knew what was going on with Trey Sermon and Brandon Ayuk. Like, we've had our guesses. We tried to decode some messages from the coaching staff and from John Lynch on this podcast. I really don't know. I think Trey Sermon probably just doesn't hit the hole hard enough. Is maybe not. Because Kyle Shanahan, in a lot of ways, and you'll probably say this about Brandon Ayuk, and you could say it probably about Jimmy G and Trey Lance. Kyle Shanahan wants you to do it the way he would do it, kind of, you know, like he wants to play quarterback. He wants to play wide receiver. He wants to play running back. He's like, he doesn't want you to be an artist out there. He's like, it's designed to do this, hit the stinking thing, right? He wants a wide receiver to run the perfect route. That's how he's designed it, because he called this play versus a certain coverage, and he wants you to hold that safety. So he needs you to run the route like this, so this other guy can get open, not for you to run the route so you can get open. And I think that is maybe part of it with Sermon, with some of these young players, with Trey Lance. He wants them to make the right read, do the thing that it's designed to do.
I think that might be what the issue is with the team. I think we can all have, you know, the way we want things to do, but at one point, it's like being in a relationship, right? You can say you want this female to be X, Y, Z and have these different type of attributes. But at the end of the day, there's going to be some give and take, right? Like no person is going to be perfect to exactly what you ideally want. There has to be some kind of compromise there. And when you're looking at these receivers and running backs with the talent that they possess, and I get it, Trey Sermon, maybe not the fastest of guys. But again, I watched him against Seattle. He ran the ball well. Is he a big explosive play guy? No, I don't think he's that, but he runs well. All right. Like you can't tell me that that's somebody that just does not deserve to see the field at all. Like there's no way he can go from almost having a 100-yard rushing game against the Seattle Seahawks to having one carry on the last drive of the game against the Arizona Cardinals. Makes no sense. Brandon Ayuk, I get it. You want him to run his route just like this and just like that. But dude, I watched him last year. I watched him be one of the most productive rookies in the league. Like, and it sounded like if he could have somebody play over him last year, then he would have. Because it was like, well, you know, we just didn't have anybody else out there. You know, everybody was hurt. So that's what the situation called for. So it's like, well, whatever it called for, he was very productive. Why does it have to be exactly to a T how you want it? And maybe there'd be a little bit of give and take. And I think there's still a way to be able to win with that, because I don't think these are terrible football players that he's talking about.
Right. No, I agree with everything you're saying right now. And look, Trey Sermon's 4.4 yards per carry. Elijah Mitchell's 4.2 yards per carry. They're fine. The running backs are fine. It's fine. Like whatever Trey Sermon's doing wrong, I don't know. He's 4.4 yards per carry. Everybody's over 4 yards per carry for Kyle Shanahan, unless you're Tevin Coleman, right? Like just, it doesn't matter. Plug these guys in. Yeah. They're fine. They are fine at running back. All right. We got to get to the pass catchers.
Kyle might be his own worst enemy.
Yeah.
I like Kyle Shanahan. But when you start to kind of, you know, look at these things and how things have played out over the years,
yep.
Like you might be the problem, but you can fix it. Like you're better than this. I know, weird dynamic.
Yeah, yeah. It's too common and too many players now. So what's the common denominator? It's Kyle. Let's talk wide receivers, because that's continuing with that position group as well. Now is the time to grab yourself a box of Built Bars at Built.com and get 15% off your first box while doing it with promo code LOCKED15. They brought back the marshmallow puff flavors recently. They're always bringing in new and fun flavors, and the bottom line is it tastes good and it's healthy. That's the only reason you need to be going to BuiltBar.com. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Most flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, and only 4 grams of sugar and 4 grams of net carbs. Maybe you want a little bit more protein. You get up to 18 grams of protein in some flavors, like the peanut butter, which is my favorite. But there's a ton of great flavors, all covered in delicious 100% chocolate, the 9 original flavors, a bunch of new flavors. I think they got 18 flavors up there. You can build your own box and mix and match flavors. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, Croc, you're getting a little worked up there talking about the running backs and what's going on with Kyle Shanahan. And I have a feeling a lot of that has to do with Brandon Ayuk, right? So what are we looking at with the wide receivers? How disappointing has this group been? Because as disappointing as Brandon Ayuk has been, Deebo Samuel has been as awesome on the other side of that, right? So you got George Kittle has only been targeted 28 times in his 4 games, missed last week for 227 yards, no touchdowns. Deebo's balling. He's at the top of the league, 548 receiving yards, 52 catches, 3 touchdowns. By the way, Deebo's on pace for like, I'm not going to do that math right now, but what, like 1,800 yards or something crazy receiving? Like that's crazy. 31 catches and 548 so far, and 3 touchdowns for Deebo Samuel, and some carries as well, doing some things in the running game, and he looked natural running the ball. It's always nice when you have Kyle Juszczyk out in front and Trent Williams out in front, and made some nice blocks on that touchdown run for Deebo Samuel as well. But Brandon Ayuk, that's the big one. Only 15 targets through 5 games. 8 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, that's insane compared to what his last 5 games were last year, right? So where are we at with the pass catchers? We're including tight ends here. Tight ends and wide receivers, what kind of grade would you give this group?
I'm actually going to give them a B- because I believe Deebo Samuel, he's carrying that grade. He's playing well above any expectations. And obviously, you could see where, okay, he could be a 1,000-yard receiver. Like, heading into the season, I think some people thought that Brandon Ayuk would probably take away some targets from him. But, you know, I was like, no, I think this is the guy. He's carrying this group, that's for sure. And he's playing at such an exceptionally high level. But I think the other guys, aside from Ayuk, are doing as well as you probably would expect with Sanu, right? Sanu's having his couple catches here and there, and it's like, well, that's probably what Sanu would do.
Yeah.
You look at Travis Benjamin. I mean, I don't think he has any catches, but he's seen the field. Okay. There's a lot of more expectations with the other guys. I think it's Ayuk that's probably bringing this down a little bit, because even if he was just a little bit better, I talked about him just, can you just be Kendrick Bourne? And I think even that would be kind of like a disappointment based on what we were expecting. Mm-hmm. But even if you could just be like that, I think, you know, people would feel more comfortable and confident with what's going on there. But we're dynamic. I keep saying that, but we're dynamic with this receiver group. And really just, I mean, as you can tell, our offense in general, got to get something going there. I don't know what's going on with Brandon Ayuk, but hopefully it gets fixed soon. But yeah, I'm going to give them a B-. And really, that's Deebo really carrying that grade.
Yeah, that's a heavy Deebo in that grade. But it's funny, I had B- as well for the 49ers wide receivers. By the way, and I'm just looking at the stats right now, do you know who the third leading receiver is for the 49ers this year?
Kyle Juszczyk.
Juice? Kyle Juszczyk, 14 catches for 135 yards and a score. He's the third leading receiver. And George Kittle, I mentioned, only has 19 catches, 227. It's all Deebo all the time. So as disappointing as some of it's been, the more I think about it, I feel like it should be a C+ more than a B- here.
I know, me too. I was thinking about that too. Like, I think this should be a C because everything is just so underwhelming, except for Deebo. But I think because he's playing at such a high level, a lot of times, you know, more times than not, teams are like this. And it gets kind of overshadowed because they oftentimes have like this one guy that's just going crazy. So yeah, I mean, if you look at it around the league, you kind of compare like
the Packers have the same thing going on. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot, you know, probably better, a little bit better with Valdez-Scantlin and Lazard.
Cobb
probably a little
now.
Bit better, but not nothing crazy. I mean, it's Davante Adams, who just had another 200-yard game. It's Davante Adams. And then the gang, like whoever else can kind of get in where they fit in. And that's really what's going on with the 49ers right now.
Here's the thing that really gets me with the Brandon Ayuk stuff. Okay, it's like, well, Brandon Ayuk's disappointing or whatever, maybe. And Kyle doesn't want to use him and target him and scheme him and do all that stuff. Even though, I mean, get the ball in his hands, right? We've seen him run with the ball. It's better than Sanu. It's still better than Sherfield and Juwan Jennings. But there's no other playmaker over there. It's not like someone else is doing a ton. It's like, well, look, okay, if let's say Sherfield was making huge plays and making big catches every single game and was like looking like a number two with Deebo looking like a number one. It's like, okay, look, you beat out Brandon Ayuk, but nobody's doing that. So what's the deal? Like, I just don't really understand what's going on the other side at wide receiver at all. And putting Benjamin in there ahead of Brandon Ayuk, the only thing I can think of is like, okay, this is the veteran that Kyle trusts to run routes the right way. Like, why else would you put Benjamin, who didn't even have a roster spot last week, comes up from the practice squad, and it's like, oh yeah, here you go. Take these reps from Brandon Ayuk.
And take these reps from Trent Sherfield, a guy who made
awesome
plays all over the
summer.
Place throughout training camp, you know, at every level of the field, whether it was shallow, intermediate, to vertically pushing routes. He made plays everywhere, and it seemed to be something consistent and carried over into the actual preseason games where he looked to show off some strong hands. And then now he's just a blocker. You know, it's like, what are we doing with Trent Sherfield? A guy who Larry Fitzgerald was like, oh man, like, you guys, and obviously this is during preseason, but he's like, hey, what you guys are seeing from Trent Sherfield, like, we knew he had this in him. But then the season starts, and he's a non-factor. So I'm going to change my grade. I'm going to go C-, really.
Oh, because wow. He dropped a full letter. Oh, no.
Again, you got one guy carrying. Matter of fact, you have Deebo carrying it, and then Kyle Juszczyk being your next like pretty much best guy. I mean, Kittle's, you know, whatever. But this is I don't. Part of I can't my, say with confidence that I really like what's going on at the receiver position.
Part of my grade was George Kittle still blocking his butt off. And you have to factor that into George Kittle's grade. So Kittle blocking his butt off and being a second option and Deebo Samuel balling out and doing what he's doing as a number one, you don't need a ton from your number three guy when you have Juszczyk being involved as well. So that's kind of why I had him in the B-minus range originally. And maybe that's a little high. Maybe she'd be more like C-plus. But you do have to factor in everything George Kittle does and not just that, you know, he hasn't done a ton in the receiving game. But they need somebody on the other side. They need that. They need a different style of wide receiver, too. And I think that's maybe part of it right now. I've been vocal about that with Kyle Shanahan, the way they've, and John Lynch, I mean, their pair, the way they've drafted receivers is they've drafted so many players that are a certain style, yet they have nobody who's tall and fast. Like, they just, in 5 years, you can't find one player who's both tall and fast. Like, you got Sanu who's tall, but dude ran a 4.7 10 years ago. He's definitely not fast, right? He's not dynamic. He's not making a ton of plays. Maybe he knows where to be on the field, but he's not making a ton of plays. Ayuk and Deebo are both sub 6 feet. They're listed at 6 feet, I think, but they're 5'11 and a half or whatever it is, you know, and Ayuk's still the closest to that. Sherfield, I think, is a hair over 6 feet or right at 6 feet, and he's fast, but, you know, he's a role player, as he should be, and he's sort of settling into the role we thought he would have, and all of a sudden it looked like he was going to be a starter. So I just don't know what to feel about this group. I want someone who looks like AJ Green on the other side from Deebo Samuel. Give me some various targets, so some different looks for your team. And when you have a strong arm quarterback like Trey Lance, and maybe he is a little inaccurate sometimes, give me a big catch radius and a guy that can get down the field and get open for that receiver. I want a linear downfield guy who's got some size and some speed. The Niners need to add that player next season. They have to.
That was the Panthers' recipe for Cam Newton, right? He's like, hey,
yeah,
I mean. And he has Steve Smith balling, but it's like, you know what? We're also going to, because he can be a little inaccurate, we're going to go ahead and get Kelvin Benjamin. We're going to go ahead and get Devin Funches and get these guys with these big catch radiuses where Cam Newton, okay, you have a tendency to throw high. Well, you can't outthrow these 6'5", 6'6", receivers. Yeah. And they were, you know, borderline 1,000-yard receivers and things like that. So, yeah, it would be nice. Okay, have the Deebo. Awesome. And IU. But can we have that other guy, like that pure 6'5", big body guy? Maybe he can run. Maybe he can't run as well, but big catch radius that's going to kind of bail the 49ers out a little bit.
I want speed. He better be able to run too. I want size.
Okay,
and
never mind.
Speed.
Yeah. Speed.
And he could be the number three guy, but he could come in and be on the outside. And the thing about it is they keep trying to find like a slot guy to go with Deebo and Ayuk. Deebo and Ayuk are awesome slot guys. Put them in the slot. Bring your number three in as an outside guy that threatens down the field.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that. We're out of time here. Those are the grades on the offense. You can tell how frustrated we are about the 49ers' offensive side of the ball. There's going to be some higher grades, I think, on Monday when we give out bye week grades for the defensive side of the ball. And I guess maybe we should grade the coaches as well. Coming up next time, right here. And thanks for making us your first listen, by the way, right here, Locked On 49ers.